Well, if you've been where I've been, you're glad to be anywhere. Amen. Amen. Would you open your Bible, please, in the book of Titus. In the book of Titus. Somebody gets up and talks about their sickness, and they make me sick. But I tell you, it's good to be well tonight. Amen. I tell you, it's good to be well. In your Bible, in the book of Titus, and chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible said, "But a lover of hospitality and a lover of good men and sober and just, holy and temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. For there are many unruly." And the Bible here is very clear about an unruly person. They're vain talkers. We're filled up with that. In Texas, anyway, I don't know about in the Carolinas. Vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Tonight I'd like to speak to you on Titus 1:8, a lover of good men. Now you take the rest of this chapter as a preacher and do anything that you want to with it. You preach against everything that you please. But the Bible said there that you are to be a lover of hospitality and a lover of good men. Every one of you here tonight have somebody in the Bible that you really appreciate. If you're like me, Amos is one of my favorite men in the Bible. Amos was a preacher. Thank God for that. Thank God for every man. He wasn't a speaker. He was a preacher. Amen? There's a difference between a speaker and also different between somebody got a mouth full of mush, afraid he's going to swallow it. But I'm talking about somebody that'll preach what God lays on his heart. And the Bible said here that we to be a lover of good men. Good men. Brother Wood, what are you supposed to do about a good man? Well, you look in the Bible about David. You look about all these men, Elijah. You know, one day Elijah's, they're coming down the road and the lady said, "Let's just build him a little room where this man of God have a place to stay." These people were lover of a good man. A good man. You know, we're very, don't take any brains at all to criticize. Amen. Every man of God has got room for that. But you don't have any authority to do it. See, you're a lover of good men. This lady said, "Let's build them a little room." And this man, or this young boy that was with this great man of God, spent, I know, over 20 years with him. How do you know, Brother Wood? Well, that boy, they prayed for that woman to have a child, and she had a child, and he got grown. Then he died. They were still there. So they must have been there a while. Most people, after about 2 weeks, you know, it's kind of like fish and shrimp. They begin to stink. But in this incident in the Bible, and you know, I noticed this man, Gehazi, after he fell into sin, got away from the man of God, he's still talking about, after he done got into sin, he's got leprosy, he's away from God, and he's still talking about the man of God, telling the king about what happened and the miracles that were performed. And we have a lot of that around the Baptist church, talk about what we used to be. Amen? I used to go soul winning. I used to love souls. I used to pray. I used to fast. Amen? I used to love the preacher till Susie got 16 years old and didn't like some things he had convictions about. Amen? I used to like him. But the Bible said we're to be lovers of good men. Now, first, a good man, you ought to pray for him if you've got one. They're kind of like hen's teeth in our state. They're not real plentiful. But you need to pray for them. You need to speak well of them. And you need to recognize the good things that they do. Now, if you want to make a... I was looking at two young men at a funeral the other day, and there was a man that I knew who died a drunk, and he'd made a profession of faith 40 years ago, and in my home, but he told his boys that I was a bad man. And I thought about that funeral. I couldn't help them boys. Their daddy had closed their minds against this man. And I stood there and thought, them two boys are going to die and go to hell from what a backslidden daddy told them, or lost whatever his condition was. But here we find out that you need to recognize the good things they do and the hospitality they have and what have you. But in Titus, look again, please. 1:8, please. But we need to be a lover of good men. Isn't it strange how when a pastor comes to the church, he's a good man, and for 5 or 6 years, he's all right. But you know, pastors and evangelists and men who work in the Lord's work, they have bad years. I've just had 4. But they have bad years. Amen. They have a problem with this child. They have a physical problem. Amen? And some of us even have a mental problem every now and then. And you're the cause of it. Amen. So please. And you know, it's always the same. A man said, I had a spell with my heart and had to have open heart surgery back in April. And a man said, you know, Brother Wood doesn't have a drop of compassion left. I thought to myself, that could be true, but I know it's true about him. Because I'm sick. Amen? And I never went to the hospital and rebuked him and talked to him. I had in the church service quite a few times. But lovers of good men. According to the book of Acts in chapter 7, verse 3, it said a good man ought to be an honest man. In other words, that means the guy is going to pay his bills, you know. We have a rule in our church, you don't borrow no money off of nobody. What do you do with people that borrow money from each other? We put them out of church. We practice church discipline, because we know they fix start stealing. Amen? Had a boy borrowed some off a widow woman. I went and got him by the collar. You said, you're not supposed to lay hands. I was laying hands on him, pray for him. I said, you take that widow woman at $75 back, I'm going to put a knot on your head. Amen. You got leeches that hang around every church. And a good man stands outside and makes sure that the leeches don't rob God's people. And I'm the policeman there. German Shepherd watchdog. We got a sign to our church. He bites. According to the book of Acts, he's an honest man. He's full of the Holy Ghost. Now, if a man's full of the Holy Ghost and you ain't, you say, that's not good English. I've got a doctor's degree. That's all right. It hadn't helped me much, but it... Amen. Full of the Holy Ghost. Now, that man's not wanted. John the Baptist was full of the Holy Ghost. Jesus was full of the Holy Ghost. Peter was full of the Holy Ghost. These men were full of the Holy Ghost. And they were good men. And some of these men made some terrible mistakes. Hey, you made your mistake. Won't you let the preacher make his? Just sorry, low down there. You know what he did? If they had, as many hours as he's counseled you, if they had all that on tape, they could sell it and they'd make a movie out of it. Yeah. Say hallelujah. You say, I don't like you, Brother Wood. I knew you wouldn't, honey. That's all right. That's all right. But they are honest men, full of Holy Ghost and wisdom. Acts 6:5 said, and they're full of faith. And now, just because a man of God sees a little further down the road than you do, and he sees some things that God wants to do in that church, I started to knock a wall out in the church. Well, it's been 15, 17 years ago. And a man came and said, "This is our church. This is a holy place." I said, "I know it. 4 or 5 bullet holes through the walls in that old church. Downtown Houston, Texas, man. It's a little rank there." Somebody said, "Woods has got a sawed-off shotgun. If you lived down there, you'd get you a machine gun." Yeah, amen. Yeah. I tell you, it's a wild scene there. Amen. Full of faith. Just a little bitty guy sitting right there. About 400 pounds of him. And 4 guys jumped out of the car here a while back and coming in the church had their pistols in their hand. He pulled out his and said, "What do y'all want?" They said, "Nothing, we was leaving." 4 of them. They happened to be black. It's coming out to rob the people of God in the church of God. And you know what the police said? "Why didn't you shoot them?" And we said, "Why haven't y'all?" Amen. Yeah. Amen. But them kind of people nowadays are like them. I was out in the Teton Mountains here the other day, and it said, "Don't feed the bears, because they're not scared of you." They're scared of them mountain men. Because them mountain men would kill them. You ought to be lovers of good men. And there come a day when you'll need a man like this in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Yeah. John walked out to his back door, heard his wife said, "Somebody's trying to break in the house yesterday evening." And the guy was prizing the door, window open. John tapped him on the head with a .45 and said, "What do you want?" He said, "Nothing." I mean, he looked like that he needed a blood transfusion. Looking up that barrel of a .45, he said, "Nothing." Now, you know, that's really funny. But what if you had to kill somebody like that? You said, "Would you really shoot him before you could skin a minute?" Amen. I said, "You ought to be lovers of good men." You said, "Well, I've already made up my mind. You're not one of them." But anyway, you be a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy. Hear that song a while ago? Holy. We think that's some charismatic word. They don't. They throw that word away too. They done like the Baptists. Most of them used to be Baptists. They don't win nobody to God. They just get the ones you do. Sober and just and holy and temperate. What kind of men should we love, brother? Men who have a great compassion on this world. I don't care. Talk is cheap unless you're talking on AT&T. But talk is cheap. You understand that? But when you begin to live for God and settle in and work for God and see a mission field that's lost in a world going to hell without God, and men begin to lay the burden on you. And I'm telling you nowadays, preachers will get ugly. A preacher got up and preached after me the other night and said, here a while back, Brother John, you was there, and he got up and he said, we need to forget about the mission fields of the world. We need to get our mind on our soldier boys and everything. Well, see, our mission program, we support the men with the soldier boys. Yeah. The little church runs 300. We give another 225,000 for them others. Yes, sir. Why should you sit around and criticize God's men just because they're a little bit heavier here than you are, or they believe a little more than you do here? One day you might even believe it. Then you'll have the joy of having everybody hate you. Amen? Won't that be a blessing? Amen? You ought to pray. Men of the world, men hate the fact men that they've never seen. A man told me the other day, he said, you know what so-and-so told me about you? I said, who is he? He said, he told me he knew you. I said, I've never heard that name in my life. And I've got a memory like an elephant. I've got a photostatic memory. Mine, everything. I'm out of film, but I've got it. Need to pray. Pray for the men. Great men. That's what the Bible says right here. I got my finger on the Bible. You know, You said, Brother Wood, a bishop should do this and a bishop should do that. Hey, God said you and I should be lovers of good men. I'm talking about men who's got compassion and pray for this world and provide men for this world and provide money for this world and a ministry for this world. You need to love that kind of men. We used to write books about them. Now we just blaspheme them and criticize them and hope they die somewhere. Come in here and I'm talking about men who will preach to this world. These men here in the Bible, they went. Brother Randy Pike said that the Apostle Paul, the best he could figure out, had walked 5,000 miles in his ministry. If I'd had a speedometer on my rear end, I ain't no telling how many million I've been. I've been everywhere. I was counting up last night in about 18 or 20 foreign countries just to preach. I thank God for it. I got on an airplane this morning, Houston, Texas. I'm glad for it. I've lost all that excitement and all that other stuff about it, but I told my body this morning, 5 o'clock, get up, and he said, I ain't going to do it. I was in Mexico last week, and I said, get up, and he said, I ain't going to do it. I just grabbed him and shook him real good and said, get up. Don't wait to do it. Sucker just wouldn't get up. I said, they went. They walked, and these men worked. We even send out missionaries, independent Baptist missionaries. I mean, they're not fit to kill. They're not fit to kill. Thank God for every good one. And we support about 75 or 80 good ones. Thank God for that. Amen. You know, this young man said going to Japan over here. I was talking to him one day, and he said to me, he said, you know, I went to Japan and stayed for a year or two. He said, I just went over and said, I just went over on my own. I paid my way over. I said, I just wanted to make sure that this is what God wanted me to do. I didn't want to cause a big expense to the church. I wanted to find out what God wanted me to do. Some of these missionaries, Bob Hawk, you've been around. How long have you been a missionary? 30 years? 26 years. Bob Hawk, El Cajon. That's what a Mexican down there call him. The Hawk. Amen. He's crashed them old planes and been poisoned and been in hospitals. I mean, went down to watch him and it looked like, and people said, what in the world's wrong with him? I said, man, he wore out. Crashed them old planes. I mean, he can crash one on a sunshiny day. I mean, Bob's an expert with them planes. Amen. Amen. But these men went and they worked and they starved. And they were stoned and shipwrecked. But they sacrificed and got the job done. They got the job done. Thank God they got the job done. So you need to love men who's got a compassion to this world. You need to be a lover of men who's got some godly convictions about this book. You know what a legalist is? That's a man that believes one other thing is a sin that you don't believe. That's a legalist. Everybody used to believe something I didn't believe. I called him a legalist. Till I found out that you're supposed to do everything legally. You're not supposed to be illegal, are you? That's what I was before I got saved. Somebody called Spurgeon a legalist in his time. And he said, well, if I owned a piece of property, I'd want it legal. If I bought a horse, I'd want it legal. Hey, if I bought a car, I'd want it legal. So why not be legal about God's business? You said, yeah, you know what we're talking about. Yeah, we're talking about some little sin that you like and some preacher preaches against it and you will destroy him. Especially if Susie does it. In the last few years, I've had a man just because his one girl, one daughter, one trampy daughter, and everybody knows she's a first-class tramp. Everybody knows it. In the city, everybody knows it. But, I mean, they tried to destroy my life. Oh, hey,
Why don't you just pick out something wrong that I've done? If you look close enough, you'll find it. You don't have to. Hey, if you raise a tramp, that's your business. But don't blame it on the church. Because, see, God didn't give the church to raise a boy or girl. He gave that child to you. And the church has her responsibility to preach to them. But we can't preach to them when they're out in the car in the back seat. Amen. You said this is too frank for us. That's all right. George will be here after a while. But men of godly convictions about the Bible. First, this Bible is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Hey, I handed this Bible right here. This Bible right here. It's a great big print. And I was in Romania. And Brother John and I were sitting at a table. And there was a gypsy man sitting there that was a preacher. And he started reading this Bible. And he was reading it. And he said, "Why is your Bible so different than mine?" And I said, "What have you got there?" I couldn't read it. And he said, "Well, I don't know." He said, "It's a little translation." But he said, "In the English language," he said, "this King James Bible, man, it's so rich. It makes it so live." And that man just stood there, tears began to stream down his face, and he just kept reading. I said, "Read it out loud." He said, "Well, you couldn't understand it if I said it." And I said, "Try me." And so he started reading it in his language. And it blessed me. I know it's inspired because it inspires me. I went to a Bible school and they told me that the next... Well, it's been 38 years ago. They said the next Bible that will be on every pulpit is the Williams translation. Have you ever heard of it? The Williams. Yeah. You said you still got it? Yeah, I still got it. I took it home and I said, "Papa, read this." Papa, he couldn't read. Papa couldn't read nothing, but he could read the Bible. So Papa, he started to read that, and he looked at it, and he read it, and he read it, and he read it, and he said, "Ain't much to this, is it?" I said, "What's the matter, Papa?" I said, "That's the Bible." He said, "That ain't the Bible." I said, "How you know it ain't the Bible?" He said, "Ain't said nothing to me." "Earl, you knew him." He said, "Ain't said nothing to me." You know, God didn't make this where Dr. Doodledigger is the only one that could understand it. God don't need the Pope of Rome to explain this Bible to me. Amen? Men about godly conviction. About the word godliness. Isn't that a good word? Godliness. How many of you would just really like to be godly? Well, you say, "Brother Wood, God just looks on the inside." Listen, honey. God looks on the inside. The upside, the top side, the bottom side, and all other sides. You see, God's an all-seeing God. And He sees everything. And God's not just looking down in your heart and saying, "Well, that's just wonderful." He's trying to grow you in some other places. Hey, say hallelujah. Amen. Say hallelujah. Godliness. God. Holiness. That is a good Bible word, isn't it? I mean, we didn't get that out of Sears and Roebuck catalog. Holiness is a good word. But nowadays, a man said, he had a great big church right there beside of me. He's not 10 blocks away. Different shade of Baptist. But he said, "Man," he said, "we got a big church. Church pays him $60,000 a year and pays his boy $40,000 to lead the singing. He's down to $150,000. He took a thing into the church last week and told the church, said, "If you'll do this, I will leave the church. I've been here 22 years. And if you'll give me $60,000, my boy $40,000 for this year, a year in advance, take care of all of our insurance for 10 years, and buy my home, $75,000 home," he said, "I'll leave the church." Now, that's not a good man. That's a man who has purposed in his heart to rape the church of God. He's not a good man. You said you should speak evil of no man. He ain't a man. because I seen him. He had a little necklace on. He looked like a sissy to me. I wanted to hang him. Such a molest the church of God. Molest the church of God. I'm going to tell you something about when a man brings a tithe and a man works, this man works and that man works, and he puts his tithe in that church, that tithe belongs unto the Lord. After you get it in there or before you get it in there, don't make any difference. The tithe is the Lord. And if he catches you with your hands on it before or after, he'll break your arm. The tithe is the Lord. And so this man is saying, give me 60,000 for them old saints' tithe. I wouldn't touch that money. If he was a member of my church, I wouldn't want him to tithe when he got it. I'd ask him to leave. Men of godly conviction about holiness and separation. Now buckle your seatbelt and just sit tight. I'm not going to disturb you tonight. You already know what I'm talking about anyway. Amen? Separation. Clean, godly, Bible separation, that when you walk down the street, a lost man knows there's something different about you. You're not trying to look like the world and act like the world and smell like the world. Amen? Amen? And flirting with the world. Amen? Amen, brother. Well, thank you. You say, how come so many preachers get into sin? That tells you right there. They smell like the world, look like the world. The guy, he was putting a bunch of some kind of stuff on, man, smelled like a 15-cent... I better not say that. If it's just a Mount Airy here, I'd say it, but I better not say that. Some of y'all might get shocked. He smelled like he'd been down one of them deep places in Houston, Texas. Huh? And come walking in. He said, a lady flirted with me. Oh, silly fool. Ain't nobody flirted with him. That's his imagination. Running away with it. Wouldn't have done her no good to flirt with old fool no how. Amen? I'm talking about separation. I'm talking about dedication to God. Loving the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what brings holiness. That's what brings godliness. That's what brings separation. What? Loving the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about with all the heart. Lord, you're mine. And I belong to you. Man asked me the other day, said, Brother Wood, you put a lot of money in mission. I said, yes, sir. I said, you know, it's not hard to give when you realize it ain't yours. Think about that. Take that home with you. When it ain't yours, anybody. I've seen a lot of preachers jump up and say, our church will give $100. Our church will do it. But you know, when you stand up and say, I will give. That's a different story, isn't it? All right. Men of godly convictions about church doctrine, second coming of Christ, and missions. Let me go on, please. Men of a gracious conversation. Godly conversation. This book says, be you kind and tender-hearted one toward another. There's very little of this going on. Very little of this going on. Sometimes I go back to the nursery and they're just about to have a fist fight. And I say, what's going on here? Well, they didn't change my kid's diaper. Well, teach him not to be messing in his britches. Huh? Very simple. Huh? Man, you should... I mean, people are going to fix and pull hair. They said, he didn't feed my baby. We have a Mexican church here in Houston. They run about 550. And they feed theirs right there in the auditorium. A little different. Men of gracious conversation. Sometimes conversation is salted with bitterness. A man said to me a few weeks ago, he said, I left my church. He said, I graduated in Bible school up in the north. He said, I left my church in Florida a few years ago, and he said, nobody's ever recommended me to a church. When he got through talking, I said, you're looking at another guy to myself. I didn't bother the man. But, this man was bitter. This man, he was blaming other preachers because he was a failure. And he said, well, why don't they help me? Why don't these men... See, he's not a lover of good men. He called good men's names. And he said, those men refused to help me.
Why should they help you? They didn't call you. God called you. A missionary told me the other day, he said, the church dropped me. I said, well, God might have dropped them. You know, if God drops me, I'm in trouble. But I ain't got $2 without Him. And sometimes churches just have tragedies in them. Amen? Yeah. Won't you give the church a little room, friend? You know, we hear so much criticism about the church today. I tell you, when Jesus comes, He's going to be a little hot. I got a little old sermon I preached. Jesus is coming. Boy, is He mad. But He's coming. Now, let me ask you something. You men sitting here, you got a wife that you've been with 40 years, 50 years, 20 years, 10 years. What if somebody talked about your wife like you talk about his? I went to that church and they didn't give me nothing. They don't owe you nothing. I went there and spoke and they didn't give me an offering. You don't deserve it. How come you're supposed to get an offering? Who are you? Jesus come down here, nobody gave Him an offering. Won't you just put this thing just like it's supposed to be? You say, they didn't take very good care of me. How good a care was they supposed to take? I said, you be, speak right about good men. Be a lover of good men. Good men. Good men. There are some good men in the world. Now, their conversation is not bitterness. They're not self-willed and call it the will of God. They're not men who have no concern and wishes for others. Listen to me, please. There's a lot of unsubstantiated gossip, filthy jokes come out of preacher's mouth. Southern Baptist had a man named Carroll in Texas, pastor of the First Baptist Church in Waco. Great man of God. Back in the other century. Wore a beard about this long. An old man. And him and Dr. J. Frank Norris built that seminary there. Neither one of his names on it, but they built it. Norris raised the money and Dr. Carroll built the seminary. And when he would talk to a young preacher, he said, I want to make a covenant with you. If I go to heaven first or you go to heaven first, that we'll never hear or listen or tell a dirty joke. We'd listen to anything that was colorful. Nothing. God's man's got no business. I said, be a lover of good men. Good men. Sometimes men are hated. There's envy. But it's brought on by wicked jealousy. We just try to destroy them because we're jealous of their accomplishments. A fella pulled up my house one night and he said, you sure live in a fine home. I said, thank you, sir. He said, I'll tell you where I'm at. I'm down in Mexico. I won't call his name tonight because I'm behind the pulpit. He said, you know, I've known you for 30 years. I said, well, I didn't know you. I don't remember you. He said, I want to just ask you a question. Why do you preachers live in such a fine home? And look at what we've got. I said, sir, you're looking at 35 years later. I'm flipping every rat nest in Houston that there is. Amen? Me and that woman and them 8 kids and had nothing but sorrow and heartache down that ghetto and that jungle trying to reach them people God. But this is 40 years later, and a church goes out here. And a church buys a house. And it belongs to the church. It don't belong to me. I'm just living there, man. I'm enjoying the blessing. But this guy with his envy and hatred in his heart, he's mad at me because God blessed me with a house. And I said, you know, it just come to me who you are. You're that preacher that was down there and got caught with a load of wetbacks coming out of Mexico. And you went to prison. I remember now who you are. You're that missionary down there that's working on your 5th wife. I remember you now. The last time I seen him, he had him a basketball going down the street, about 6'3". Yeah. He didn't sleep out no more. A lot of crazy things going on, isn't it? A lot of crazy things. You ought to be lovers of good men. Good men. Men who give with a consistency.
A guy said to me, they said, I want you to come hold us a mission conference. He said, we want our church to give. This guy wouldn't give a nickel to see an anteater bale of hay. I mean, this guy, I know him, man. I know the guy. And I've loved him all these years, but he's just not going. He said, I want you to come. And I said to him and called him by his name. I said, did you ever try to push a string? Did you ever put a string up there and try to push it? Huh? No, you got to pull it. That's leadership. See, that's just off the streets of Houston. You can't push a string. You got to pull that string. And a preacher's got to get up and be an example in giving. Do your head like this. Now, all you preachers do that. Come on now. Don't back up on me. Amen. You see, what guy said to me the other day, he said, I wish my church would let me go off and preach meetings. I started asking how old he was. He was old enough to go to town. Man, I go off and preach a meeting, and I come back home, and my church said, how much money did you raise for missions? I mean, what happened? You know, the month of November, Brother Green, I took sick in November, and I had them meetings, and I just went on and done them. And in the month of November, God let us raise $500,000 for missions in the month of November. And here's this moron is telling me, I wish my church had let me do that. Why don't you talk to your Lord? You say, that's who the deacon board is. You're in trouble. You see, a deacon board is just to spank the preacher when he gets out of line. All right. All right, let's go on. Amen. Let's go on. Preacher has got to be consistent about giving. Not only of his time and his talents, but I'm talking about his treasures and everything else. The Lord on the line. Yeah. My daughter, 40 years old, come to me the other day, Marcia, and she said, Daddy, how about this field? Daddy, why is nobody on that field? Her mother said, she's got it, ain't she? We put something in her, concerned about the fields of the world. Thank God for it. Men who give. You got to give yourself first, that others may be blessed. You got to give yourself. You got to give that you may be example. Jesus gave His life, and out of His poverty He gave. Oh, my soul. This man would have died in a prison if God hadn't saved my wicked soul. All my life I've been in some old jail, some old prison, locked up till I was 25 years old. I had a dishonorable discharge out of the Army, been locked in a prison 9 months when they discharged me, and boy, I was in a jail, and a man and a woman come in that jail and begin to preach, and God got a hold of this man. I just celebrated Sunday, 40 years of preaching. 40 years. 40 years. I said, everybody here been saved here since I've been your pastor. And men just stood up and women stood up, and maybe 125, maybe 150 people in the church stood up and said, we got saved right here. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, God's been wonderful. And you need to be a lover of a man who will give and be consistent about it. And every week, give at others. Might hear the gospel. We have a boy that we won to the Lord. He's a drug addict. He won to the Lord. Tonight he's in the Ukraine. Tonight he's sick. We had two men just got out of a hospital in East Germany. Rick Weimer just got out, and his family got out. They've been locked up for about 5 weeks in a hospital. They took that hepatitis, and it just took hold of their lives. And Buddy Duke, a man out of our church, is out with them, and him and his family locked up in the same hospital in East Germany. You say, what'd they do? They got out. What are they going to do now? They're going back and do what God called them to do. This ain't no kid's game, is it, Bob? I've seen Bob's car shot up. It looked like Clyde Barrett's car. I've seen bullet holes all in his old car. Yeah. Them mess can get mad down there. You preaching the gospel in some of them places. Lord, love these men. But let me give you this, please. It says here, It says here we ought to be lovers of good men.
It don't say anything. It just says good men. What's a good man? I'm telling you. I'm just telling you. He might not have the ability to preach as other men. He might not hold crowds like other men. He might not do the work of us. But if he's a good man, God said, lovers of good men. Is that what he said? Now, men who are grateful for the cup that God's given them. Hey, don't complain about your cup. I mean, drink it. Jesus drank his. You drank yours. It's not as bitter as his. You drank your cup. You take your place. You don't do like the bird that wandered from his nest. So is a man that wandered from his place. But you stay where God puts you. A man said to me the other day, he said, I was in that church 10 years with the blessings of God. And he said, I moved and I've missed God. He's in my home yesterday. He said, I've missed God. He said, preacher, I'm dying inside. He said, I've missed God. You better stay in your place. Paul said, whatever state I'm in, he said, I'm just going to be thankful. And that ain't talking about Texas or North Carolina. Paul was thankful to God for a place of service. You know, God told Saul, he said, when thou wast little, in thine own eyes, the Lord used you. And you know, God will use you until you find out you're somebody. I asked Jerry Smith, who's been a missionary now probably 30 years or more. I said, I wonder, we was talking about Dr. Lee Robinson here a while back. I said, I wonder what makes that old man such a great old man. He said, he ain't never found out he's great. That's what makes good men, too. See, a good man, when he falls on his face, he says, remember Daniel? He said, Lord, they checked him, they looked for his sin, they couldn't find nothing. But I'm going to tell you, it didn't take him long. When he fell on his face, he said, Lord, we have sinned. It didn't take him long to find out his sin. You understand? And you see somebody flying around, they'd never sinned, and I'd just like to talk to your husband after service. Or your wife. Lady jumped up and said, I ain't sinned in 20 years. I'd like to talk to your husband just a few minutes. We'll find out about all that. Huh? Thankful to God. Rejoicing. You know, sometimes we show our scars that we wear. Amen? We show them scars that we wear where people can see. And we tell people about these scars that we've gotten, what people have done to us. You know what we want? We're looking for pity. You don't need pity. You need somebody's prayer. Amen? You don't need pity. You just need to get right with God. You just need to see, hey, if nobody prays for you, there's a great high priest tonight. He's praying for you. He loves you. He's concerned about it. And he can do something about it. Hey, if I pray for you, it wouldn't be nothing I could do about it. I could pray for you, but he can pray for you and do something about it too. Boy, my soul. That's great. So why your scars? Paul said, I bear in my body the marks, the dying of the Lord Jesus. He wasn't ashamed of them scars that he had. Enjoy. Listen tonight. Enjoy your portion of life. Don't sell your kids a bill of goods that everybody's in this thing for what they can get out of it, and every preacher's rotten and crazy. Listen, there's some good men out here in these woods. I've been coming here, I think this is the 17th year I've been coming here. And I'm going to tell you, I've met some good men. And 17 years later, them old men are still living the same thing, same thing. Amen? A guy told me one time, and he said, my dad and Carl Lackey both at the same time, my dad's been right here in this church. My dad was a preacher. And him and my dad both had a stroke at the same time. And they acted just exactly alike. And so, you know, I'd have put dad in a wheelchair, and he said, you better shut up, boy. You know, he treated me like I was 12 years old. Amen? He'd tell me how to run the church. He'd tell me everything. I said, old man, won't you shut up? Oh, no, don't do that. But he started arguing. You listen to me? Old man built this where it was a great old man. I've been so broke I couldn't even pay attention. The old man take me up to that house, pull out $1,000 to go there and pay that hospital bill, boy. Yeah. Yeah. I've seen him take everything he had in his pocket. And he always kept something hid. And it was $100 bill always. And he kept viewing them hundreds and he said, You get up and start this offering. He said, this offering's home here. We got to take up some money. We got to fix this offering's home up a bit. I remember one night him and I taking up $64,000 at Max 40. And while we were trying to get the offering, 12 people got saved. He said, isn't it a strange thing, Jack? He was sitting on the platform. He said, isn't it a strange thing? You start taking up money and God starts saving people. Wonder why? Flesh is out of the way. Drink your cup. And thank God for it. Enjoy it. Rejoice in it. Honest, I got on the plane this morning. I didn't just say, well, bless God, I got a bunch of work I got to do here in Houston. We're building an auditorium. I see 1,000 people. And I said, bless God, I'm going to tell you, I got a bunch to do. And I'm going to say something else. It's debt free. Don't owe a quarter on it. Not a quarter. Ain't borrowed a dime. He said, where'd you get the money? Whew, right there. Praise, right there. You said, you must have a bunch of rich people. Mm-hmm. They're really rich. Everyone in mess got 2 tortillas. Amen? Amen. It looks like the League of Nations down there. There's Chinamen. There's Africans. Ain't none got nothing but God. You said, I don't agree with you. That's all right. Like I tell you, drink your own cup. You have a problem with it, don't be trying to drink mine. I have a problem with mine. I hit a stump there, but that's all right. We'll blow it out 4 weeks over. Amen. Enjoy your life. I'm going to enjoy mine. I'm not going to endure the Christian life. I'm not going to just say I'm going to try to make it. I'm going to enjoy it. Amen. I am going to enjoy this life. A lady was taking me down to that emergency room. She said, they're going to cut you from here to here. I said, lady, I don't care if you cut me on the backside. I really don't care. I am ready to go to heaven. And I got in and people was nervous. And there were 18 people lined up, all of them going in that. In the same rooms, I had about 15 rooms. Boy, they just cutting on everybody. I hear Saul going, zzz, zzz. I said, woo, that ain't this a deal. People were fainting and passing out, and they're giving them shots. And the lady said, would you care for us something? I said, I'd like to have a hamburger. She said, I mean a shot of Demerol. I said, I never did like Demerol, honey. I said, you got any heroin? She said, no. I said, I don't fool with no Demerol. That's synthetic. She looked down at my arm, seen all them tracks on my arm. She said, what in the world is that? I said, I'm an old drug addict who got saved. And I don't need nothing to face God with. They took me in that room, got me in there, and the doctor said, you ready? I said, ready as I'll ever be. Here come them guys with them needles and everything, putting me to sleep. I said, don't shoot none of that junk for me, doc. I don't need that. He's wonderful. I woke up and I thought it was an angel, but it wasn't. It was a pretty little old girl from the Philippines. And I said, you say? She said, that's wonderful. Know somebody that's saved waiting on you. Amen? It's a funny thing in that hospital. I thank God renewed my vision. I had 9 nurses working on me one morning, and one of them was from Chile, one of them was from Canada, one of them was from the Philippines, and one of them was from mainland China, and one of them was from Austria. I said, man, they must be having a meeting here from the League of Nations. Just drink your cup. Enjoy life. Why faint and perish? Amen? I mean, enjoy your life. Let me give you this last thing, please. What is a good man? That's a man who will be gritty, in the conflict. I don't believe you ought to be ugly. God knows I hate an ugly preacher. And I'm not talking about physical. I don't believe it's ugly. I don't believe it's ugly to throw a homosexual out of church. I don't think that's ugly. Did it the other morning, but one in the road. Poof. He said, I want to come to church here. I said, you ain't coming here. Outside. Don't want you in the bathroom. Don't want you touching nothing right. Get out of here. How'd you know him, brother? Well, I've known him all his life. That's his lifestyle. Had on his necklace. Had on his jewelry.
Amen. Second Baptist had one out there the other day, died with AIDS, and he's up there singing up on the platform. Well, wouldn't you hate to put this wonderful choir here tonight, put some guy up there with AIDS, some homosexual up in the middle of all them kids? I told you I'm a guard dog. And I'd hate to bite a homosexual, but I would.
The pastor of the Second Baptist Church, the pastor of the Second Baptist Church in Houston, he's the president of the Southern Baptist Convention. He fired that guy, and 9 more walked off the rostrum while he fired him. So they had 10 gone. I said, man, this guy's having trouble. 10 homosexuals loose in the church. Well, man, you'd have to put security guards everywhere. That ain't the way the church is supposed to be run. You said, preacher, I don't see it like you do. You ain't never been where I'm at. I pour in a parking lot, Bob. I'll just tell you this. I pour in a parking lot last week, and I needed 1,000 tons of base. And so they went over there on Westheimer. That's right down in the perversion town, the whole town. There's 250,000 homosexuals live there. And so they dug all that up and brought it over there and poured that 1,000 ton on for my base. And we fixed it all up and fixed it. And so I told the church, I said, that's queer base. I want them people to know where I stand. Y'all all know that Arkansas is not having Halloween. Y'all know that. Everybody knows. Okay, I want you to know that. They're not having Halloween, and they're not going to have Thanksgiving because the witch moved to Washington and took the turkey with her. Amen. Amen. I said, Brady, God needs some men. Amen. Say amen. Let me ask you a question. You be honest with me. If the Lord Jesus came back tonight, and he just made a journey down here to earth and walked around, what do you think he'd do about that crowd? Think he'd have fellowship with him? You think he'd invite him over for coffee? We need some gritty men. And you'll go outside and you'll say, Brother Wood's unkind. I want to tell you one thing. I'm kind to all the young people that come to Shady Acre Baptist Church. I watch after them. And a man can bring his wife down. I walked back to here a while back. I walked back to the nursery. And a guy had his hand on that woman's shoulder. Beautiful young lady. I said, is that your wife? And I knew it wasn't. He said, no, sir. I said, get your hand off of her. You say, I don't believe in that, Brother Wood. That's all right. That man sent his wife to my church. And that man trusts me. And ain't nobody in Shady Acre Baptist Church putting his hand on nobody else's wife. He said, I don't like you. I'm going to take care of my job. When it comes to grit, I'm talking about like a pit bulldog. I took a shovel one time and put it in a mud hole. I had a pit bull of my own, and I just turned that shovel and he'd bite it. I said, that's my kind of dog. He'd have bit an alligator if he'd stuck his head up. We need some gritty preachers tonight that are not ugly, not unkind, not ungracious. I'm talking about men with a heart full of love of God in them. But you need to be full of grit. Your Lord had it. Your Lord wasn't scared. Your Lord walked in that temple, fixed him a whip and said, get out, boys. And they got out. You say, I don't think he hit anybody. I believe he was a nice guy. That's when he told Peter to go buy that sword. He's a nice guy. He's going to pick his fingernails with it.
Then you tell me someday, you write me a letter and tell me what he's going to do with that soul. Let's pray. Everybody pray, please. Everybody pray. Every head bowed, we go to God in prayer. Preachers, friends, I believe in a man, being a man, and being a gracious Christian man. I really believe that. Every Sunday when the church service is over, I've got about a 3-foot rostrum. And all the little old kids just come down and climb up my lap, hug my neck, bring me candy and notes. I go home every Sunday with a pocket full of notes. The other day, the lady just visiting, she didn't know that was my wife she's sitting next to. After I got through preaching on hell, warning sinners about going there, all the kids come down after service over, and they was there, and that lady said to my wife, said, "Why does those kids like that old mean man sitting up there?" See, them kids knew me. She didn't. I had rebuked her about her sin, preached against everything she believed in her mind, that there was an everlasting hell out there. And she was hanging on to some Jehovah Witness doctrine. She didn't even know the preacher in the pulpit loved her soul and wanted to see her saved. Ladies and gentlemen tonight, teach your children to be lovers of good men. God bless this message tonight. Speak to every heart. May the will of God be done. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand. Page 192. Obey the Lord tonight. The Lord spoke to your heart, you need to come. Get that thing right. You've been lovers of good men. You've been putting down some good men. 192, only trust in Him.